One of the characteristics of the scriptures, of both Old and New Testament, is they never hide all the sins and all the problems. David, the hero, the ancestor to the divine Messiah, was a murderer and adulterer. When you read these genealogies, sometime when you got, have your Bible dictionary there and look them all up. Who were these people? Ahaz, Hezekiah. Who were they? Most of them were crooks. These kings, and they are Jesus' ancestors. In other words, what the Lord teaches us is that the greatness comes from Him, not us. So we have this bit of a problem here in the early community. The Hellenists, that is, who spoke Greek, weren't born in Israel, Jews mostly, but elsewhere, they're complaining that their widows were not being taken care of in the same way that the Jewish widows were being taken care of. That was wrong. Why do they just not sweep it under the rug, Well, this is where we get to understand first the problem of the reality of the deacons. But you could have said, the apostles said, get together and get us seven men, and we'll do that so we can give our time to prayer and preaching. But that's not what happened. It says, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews. It's the same thing, right? If we're so great because we're Christians and whatever, it's because of the mercy of God. Now, that doesn't mean we tolerate it. Right now, with all the scandals and all the rest, it's a mess. But there are scandals. Those Irish over there, no, that's our scandals. Have there been a lot of priests done things wrong? Yes. Is it wrong? Yes. And they'll go to hell if they don't repent? Yes. But we're not going to hide it. Because our security doesn't come from our virtue. It comes from the mercy of God. And that's such a biblical outlook. Just read the history, anybody other, because we don't have the same thing. The Assyrians and the Sumerians, when they write, they're just, I don't know whether they were smoking pot before they wrote. I mean, it's just all how everything was great and, You don't find that in the Bible. We're a mess and we're God's people and we repent for being a mess and we try to do better because we're supposed to show God to the whole world. And that's the gift of mourning. Blessed are they who mourn. Now, we have this incident in the gospel. I forgot when I started, anyway.
Right now.
I guess I did. But I did want to point that out about that story in Acts. And then later on, they take Mark the first time along with them. That is Paul and Barnabas, they take Mark. Barnabas is the reason why Paul is in. Now Barnabas got Mark. Mark, as you know, he went home, traveling and preaching and getting contradicted, and that was too much for Mark. He went home, looks like. All the text says very discreetly, he just went home. So they're on again, and Barnabas wants to take him on the second journey. Paul says, we're not taking that kid with us. No way. And there was, and Paul, Luke describes it as a paroxysmos, a real argument between Paul and Barnabas. So Barnabas takes Mark and goes one way, Paul takes Timothy and goes another way. That's not great either. But it's right there. Later on, Paul says, be sure to have my beloved son Mark do something. There's reconciliation. But the point is, the key is not success, it's repentance and honesty. The church is great, yeah. That doesn't make us great. We didn't invent the church. We're lucky to be in on it. And the better we're clear we are on that, the better. So they call a community meeting, and they decide, and so forth. Now, this other story. The Bible is a world because it reflects a world. It reflects the world, the people in whom God acts, to whom he speaks, in and through whom he works for the world. God's people, Israel, God's people, the church. And so, there, to show you the abundance and the beauty of God's acts, every biblical text is alluding somehow to this world I've tried to create. You know, this. You cannot read the scriptures unless you believe in God and believe that God acts. It won't make any sense. So we have this story today. This is in all the Gospels except Luke, of our Lord walking on the water. This is right after the multiplication of loaves. Another dimension of his power over all that is physical. But the story is told in a way that lets you see who Jesus is. He's God. He's God. And it says so. The story starts, and they went down to the sea. That's a very biblical expression. In Psalm 107, we have all these instances of the way God acts. Huh? Let them give thanks to the Lord, for he does. Some were prisoners in chains, and some were lost. And you remember that psalm? Right. And one part it says then, they go down to the sea in ships. Go down to the sea. If you know the psalm, you know exactly what he's alluding to. He's alluding to this section. I mean, he wants to tell you this is going to be another instance of the way God takes care of his people. That's only the beginning. They went down to the sea in ships. They saw the works of the Lord and his wonders in the abyss. He commanded and raised up a storm wind and so forth. In our text, it just has a big storm. Doesn't say, you know. And they cried. They're all their skill. They staggered like drunken men. All their skill was for use. No good at all. They cried out to the Lord. And he rescued them. He hushed the storm to a gentle breeze. And he brought them to their desired haven. Now, if you know that little passage, and then you read here, you see, this is not just a game, you see. This is to try to bring our poor little narrow superficial spirits into the depth of who Jesus Christ really is and what he's done. He had just multiplied food to feed 5,000 people and prophesied how he was going to take care of his people for all eternity on bread, his body. So now they went down to the sea. It was grown dark. Jesus had not yet come to them. What a strange remark. Jesus had not yet come. Did they expect him to walk on the water? They're in the middle of the lake. How's he going to come to them? It's a strange remark. It's supposed to be strange, my friends. You're supposed to say, whoop, there's something going on here I don't understand. The sea was stirred up. A strong wind was blowing. They rowed about 3 or 4 miles, and they saw Jesus walking on the sea, and they began to be afraid. And he said, it's very hard to translate this. He said, I am. Do not be afraid. I am. That's God's name. Who are you? I am. You read that when Moses first meets God. I am. It's echoed throughout. It comes, I don't know how many times in the book of Isaiah, as a promise. I am going to take you from exile and bring you back to your own land. Anihu. I am he. Because there's no verb, believe it or not, there's no verb to be in Hebrew. Anihu, I am he, means I am. And is reflecting this other one. Ani Yehyeh, and so forth, and Exodus. Ani hu. That's translated into Greek, ego eimi. And you find that all Jesus, after having multiplied these loaves, is coming to the rescue of his disciples the way God came to the rescue of the sailors on the sea. Who's doing this? God. And when they want to know his, you know, they got afraid, and what does he say? I am. Don't be afraid, I am. This comes several times in John. In the agony in the garden, they come to arrest him. We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. I am. Meaning I am he, but I am. And they all fall back. I can't go on with all the other ones, huh? They wanted to take him into the boat. But the boat arrived immediately to the place they wanted to go. Did you just read that? I'm trying to point out that the depth, the abundance, the greatness of what the scriptures are talking to us about is done very subtly because it's too big to fit into a proposition. If I say to you, Jesus is God, you say, thank you very much. But it went about an eighth of an inch into your brain. You know what I mean? We talked the other day about a notional ascent and real ascent. You agree to the notion, but you don't agree to the reality. You don't deny it, but you've never faced the reality. You've never had an experience. You just know the formula. Jesus is God. That's neat. But let it take over your whole being. That's when it's a real ascent. You see, the way to get there, because even I say Jesus is God and it's a real ascent, and you say, okay, fine. Unless the Holy Spirit works in your spirit. The Spirit, the scriptures will always be showing this by way of illusion, creating other echoes in other parts of the same world to help you understand. Just as the sailors cried out to God and God came to them and saved them and brought them to the haven they desired, so Jesus, after saying, I am, brings them. So who is he? And this as an introduction to this long discourse which is going to take place now on himself as the bread of life. Yes, and who's talking to us? The Son of God. God himself. I will feed you on my body and my blood.